Welcome to the Finding Grace in the Wilderness podcast. I'm your host, Sharon Hawkins. Here each week, we will share stories about how God's grace can be found during life's most difficult circumstances. Meet with me around the table as we chat with others who have found that God's faithfulness never ends. We will share truth and life and discuss faith, fears, struggles, and victories. Join us as we seek to grow deeper in relationship with Jesus, the one who makes a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Hi, friends, and welcome back to another episode of Finding Grace in the Wilderness. Today, I'm going to share with you an interview that I did with Greg Bufkin in May of this year. Greg has a wonderful podcast called Hope After Child and Sibling Loss. I'm very appreciative for this opportunity to share with Greg and his listeners about my story and Bradley's story. Greg's music and my music are the same. I guess that makes us kindred spirits. Thank you for joining in today.
Equipping you to navigate your grief journey after child and sibling loss. This is the Hope After Child and Sibling Loss podcast. On each episode, we explore the many challenges of grief as guests share their stories of loss. It's also a place where you'll hear about God showing up in our darkest moments and restoring meaning, purpose, and hope to shattered lives. I'm Greg Bufkin, your host and one of the co-founders of the Empty Chair Endeavor. To learn more about us, please visit our website at www.emptychairendeavor.com. Hi, everyone. I'm your host, Greg Bufkin, and I'm so glad you could join us for our latest episode. Today, you'll be hearing a conversation that I recently had with Sharon Hawkins as she shares the story of losing her 21-year-old son, Bradley, in a tragic skateboarding accident in November of 21. We'll also be talking about the journey that Sharon and her husband Scott chose in adopting Bradley as an abandoned orphan in Kharkov, Ukraine in 2001 when he was 18 months old. This is a story of redemption and victory, reflecting the love and grace of Jesus in rescuing a neglected, abandoned baby boy and orchestrating his adoption with a loving family a world away in South Carolina, who wanted another child to love and care for. And now, here's my conversation with Sharon. Well, hey, Sharon, welcome to our podcast. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you. It's so good to be here. Thank you so much for this opportunity, Greg.
Yeah, absolutely. I've been looking forward to this because you and I, gosh, we originally talked way back in the spring, and here we are now at the end of May. So, I would love for you to, like I do with all of my guests, to take a couple of minutes. And if there's anything personal you would like to share with our listeners, you know, like where you guys live, anything about your family, your work, anything like that, the platform belongs to you for the next couple of minutes.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Sure.
Well, I'm Sharon Hawkins, and I was born and raised in upstate South Carolina. I was born in Pickens, and I'm married to Scott Hawkins. Do you know about Pickens?
Right, I know right where Pickens is because you guys are only about, 2.5 hours from us.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah,
it's
close.
A beautiful part of the state.
Yeah, we love it. We love it. My husband, Scott, we just celebrated our 35th wedding anniversary on Monday this week.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. He's from a town called Traveler's Rest. I don't know if you've heard that.
Yes,
so
absolutely.
Those two towns, Pickens and Traveler's Rest, we call it TR, they're about 15 minutes apart. So on the way from Pickens to Traveler's Rest is a little community called Nakesville, and that's where we've lived almost all of our married life.
So I bet that's a very, very laid-back, beautiful part of South Carolina's upstate.
Yeah. So we're world travelers. We went 15 minutes from home. I was actually born off Main Street in Pickens, Cannon Hospital. Little hospital. So,
and when you combine the populations of Pickens and Traveler's Rest, it's what, maybe does it exceed 200 or 300 people now? I'm just messing with you.
Traveler's Rest has exploded with Greer having BMW, and it's on that
really?
Side. Traveler's Rest is one of the most sought after places in the upstate.
All right,
everybody's moving.
You
in
heard
here.
That?
No, I'm kidding. Come on.
They want to keep it nice and slow paced there.
Where I live in Dacresville, we have 4 acres, but most everybody around us does. There's a lot of farms, no subdivisions. It's just like I love it in the fall. It's like driving through a Southern Living magazine out here. The rolling hills, we love it.
Love the foothills and mountains of South and North Carolina.
Yeah, we're in South Carolina.
Here. Yep. Yeah. Yep. And
so,
Kathy,
we race. Go ahead.
I'll say we live in the flatlands, so we love the foothills and mountains.
Okay. Yeah, we love the mountains too. In fact, this weekend, we're going to be spending time with our grandchildren who are 2 and 4. We're taking them to the lake in Westminster, taking them camping. So that's how we're celebrating our 35-year anniversary.
Wow. Well, I have to say, are you camping in a tent?
No. We don't own a camper, but I wanted to take them camping. So I found one on Airbnb, and it's in Foxwood Hills,
yeah,
on Westminster, on Lake Hartwell. So
yeah,
I'm going to take them camp and rough it, you know?
That's our idea of roughing it, too. We don't do tents anymore.
We've done it, but not anymore. Scott and I raised 2 boys camping, and Taylor, who is our oldest son, is 31, and he is the dad of those 2 little ones I just mentioned, Levi and Hadley, our grandchildren, and he's married to his beautiful wife, Reed, and he's a worship leader for Grace Church, and she is an occupational therapist.
Well, and where is that?
In Greenville.
In Greenville. In okay.
Thank the Lord they live close, because I need them. And our other son is more alive than he's ever been. He's in heaven.
Yeah.
There's a painting of him over my shoulder here. This is Bradley.
I'm looking at him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he went to be with Jesus when he was 21, 4.5 years ago.
Yeah. So. That's not very long ago. And I am so very sorry for y'all's loss.
Thank you. And I didn't mention Scott and I are retired. Scott just retired from the school district. And I ran an insurance administration company for 23 years. And retired? Not really. I'm really not retired.
I was going to say something about that because I know a lot more about you than our listeners do, and you are anything but retired in the official sense of the word.
Right.
Yeah.
I do ministry, but I'm not gainfully employed except for the rewards in heaven. It's all
exactly.
All volunteer.
Yeah. Same here. Well, you know, you mentioned Bradley. I think our listeners would love to hear you talk about Bradley as his mom. Moms and their boys just have such sweet, close relationships like none other. I can say that from our own experience. And I would like to hear more about him as well. So why don't you take a few minutes and tell us about that boy?
Well, I would love to. I'd love to share his story. He has a very special story. I constantly have reminders of him. I'm one of those moms. I have his picture around my neck on my necklace. Every time I speak, go anywhere, I take this little picture with me. So he's always long.
Yeah.
Sometimes I've been known to wear his socks. And right here at the table I'm sitting at is an empty chair. Of course, this is a nod to your ministry.
Yeah.
It has his favorite red flannel coat and his Bass Pro Shop hat hanging on the side of it. It's a big harvest table my husband built, and that empty seat is always there.
Yeah. That's interesting that you say that about the clothes, because Kathy, my wife, has a pullover that was Ryan's. And when the weather is cool, she still wears that.
I'm always wearing extra large jacket.
Yep. Same with Kathy. Yep.
Yeah. But let me tell you about Bradley. He
Please
was
do.
Larger than life. He had the biggest, heartiest laugh you've ever heard, and he would light up a room with it. And that laugh got him in trouble, because from the time he was in church, maybe 3 years old, he had a permanent blue spot on his thigh where I'd pinch him because he'd laugh inappropriately in church. He loved life. He was the class clown. And from the outside, everything just seemed always fun and good and perfect with him, with the world. But, you know, he started with very humble beginnings. He was born a 5-pound little boy to a 20-year-old woman in Ukraine.
Yeah.
So Bradley is adopted. We went to get him. The Lord led us there. We had Taylor, and we tried for 4 years after Taylor to have another child, and we were unsuccessful in conceiving. So the Lord, I said, Lord, please take this desire away from me or give us a child. And so he made that desire even stronger. So he led us to Ukraine, of all places. And we went in October of 2001, right after 9/11.
Oh, wow.
And I have a binder that's about 3 inches thick that has pictures and journals and the miracles of that trip, because God moved heaven and earth to bring this boy to our house.
Wow.
And I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful. We were approved to adopt 2 children, a boy and a girl, if we wanted. And when you go to Ukraine, you pick the child. So, excuse me, our adoption agency had told us about this little girl who was 2 years old, who 2 missionaries were adopting, but for whatever reason, that adoption ended. And so she was available. And we had a boy at home, Taylor, who was praying for a brother. And I really was thinking God was going to give us a girl. So I'm, you know, we're kind of thinking we're going to go get this little girl, but we are approved for a second child. So we got to the adoption center. We thought it was just a formality. You go through Kiev, and we thought it was a formality just to go because you picked the child, and we were going to tell them that we wanted to go see this girl. And this fax came over that had this little boy's information. He was 15 months old and he was relatively healthy, which was very unusual. And so the people, the facilitators, translators that were with us, they were from Kharkov, which is where this little boy was. And we were in Kiev and they wanted to go there. And so they were very excited. So our plan was to see this little girl and adopt her possibly, and then go and meet this little boy. But in the language barrier, the little girl got licked, was grabbed up, adopted. So she's where God means for her to be.
Sure.
Because Bradley needed us completely. He didn't need to share us. So we found ourselves in a little small room in a Kharkov orphanage. And this nurse walked in carrying this little 15-month-old boy. He was very small. And we were talking to him, smiling at him, and he reached his little arm out, his little hand out, as if to reach right into my heart, and he claimed it forever. He stole it. And
my
husband looked at me, and he says, "We want him, don't we?" He whispered, and I said, "Oh, yeah, this is the one we've been praying for."
Wow.
So we brought Bradley home, and very soon we found out that he had some problems from not being held and not being loved. The orphanage was very poor. And the wind, when it blew, would blow through the window, through the doors.
My gosh.
And it was very poor. They were understaffed. And so the children weren't held and loved like they should have been. So he was behind. And he had trouble attaching, bonding with us. I would try to feed him with his high chair. And he wouldn't eat. And he would throw fits. And later I would find him on the floor under the high chair trying to find crumbs that he had dropped.
Oh.
He wouldn't take it from me. So there were times when I have to grab him up because he would bang his head on the floor in the garage if I didn't stop him. He was so angry and so hurt. And his mom, his biological mom, I'm so grateful that she didn't abort him because she could have. She chose life for him. So I will ever be grateful to her. But I believe, I can only imagine that the devil in that orphanage was saying, "Oh, this little boy, he was abandoned. Nobody wants him. So I've got him for eternity. Surely I do." But God had plans, because this family in Little Dacusville was praying and we wanted another child. And God moved heaven and earth to put us together in the middle of 9/11.
Wow, so, that is amazing.
Yeah, we brought him home. We started, the therapy started with him, for him. Chaos for all the years that he lived in our home, we had a lot of chaos. He was diagnosed at age 3 with reactive attachment disorder. And
okay.
He changed from not being held and loved. He had a neurological change in his brain. So I've heard it said that children with that are like, you know, that it's like they've been put out and they've crossed a frozen lake.
Yeah.
And as they've gone across, it's fallen and the ice is broken. So he gets to the other side of the lake and he looks back and he sees this warm cabin with this loving family, but he's too scared to go back across.
Yeah.
And that's our boy. I'm not sorry I'm crying, but
please, please do not apologize for crying.
But I have to tell you, Greg, God did the biggest miracle in this boy. Because while he lacked conscience and he was very impulsive, we went through periods in our lives where we feared for our lives at night. We'd lock our bedroom door because we were afraid, many years of that. But
was that God, even when he was young, or was that when he started getting older?
A teenager. Rage, all of that became, when he was 13, he went away to a, he chose to go to a wilderness camp to get help for his emotional problems. And they equipped him with tools. And there was some change when he came home. When he came home at 15. But the enemy would get him alone and tell him he was unloved and he would never be good enough. And he would spiral and he would push away people that loved him the most. And that was us. And so God, I am just amazed at the lengths that God went to save this boy. He had a wonderful Christian dad. He had two wonderful grandfathers who loved the Lord. He was in two different youth groups, had a Boy Scout coach that sewed into him, a cross country coach, men of God, godly men that sewed into him, fair play, all of those chiefs and counselors. And then when he was right before he was 18, his dad said, "Bradley, you can't stay here when you become a man, being aggressive towards your mom like you are." So I was just so broken. I said, "God, Scott, we can't put him out." So I got on my knees. I knew I couldn't ask one more thing of my husband because it had been a lot of years of struggle. So I begged God to make a way, make a bridge for Bradley. And so Bradley went to live with a friend of ours who was his pastor. And he has some amazing young men that he's helped through difficult times that live in his home. And God put him in my path when I went through breast cancer. He was my physical therapist years ago. And God made a way. And I talked to Bradley about the Lord when he was 7. When he was at Fair Play, they said before he came home, he sat on the riverbank with one of the counselors who told him about the Lord. And then when he was at Paris View, North Paris Sanctuary in Traveler's Rest, where this pastor lived, when he lived with them, he made things right, his relationship with the Lord set and secure. So I know somewhere along the line he became a child of God. And I'm so thankful. Mm. It's a very difficult thing for him to ever have accepted that with the emotional problems that he had.
Yeah. I am so thankful for you guys that you know that you have that assurance that now that he's no longer with you guys, that he is with the Lord in heaven.
Yeah.
Not every parent has that assurance.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I can't imagine what it's like to have to go through the trying to process and navigate a grief journey with even a doubt in your mind where your child is. I can't imagine. I'm thankful that that we didn't have to wonder that either because Ryan was a believer also.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bradley, when he was following the Lord, he'd be looking for a widow to cut her grass. He would give you the shirt off his back. But then the enemy always didn't want to let go of that baby from the orphanage. He always wanted him. He felt like he could have him. And he thought, they got him home, but he's going to live a loveless life. And that is not true. We loved
him. He lost that battle, didn't he?
He did. And let me tell you, the day that he died, he woke up that morning. He worked at Tractor Supply. He and his girlfriend both worked there, and they had the day off together. It was a beautiful fall, November 10th day, and they were heading to Easley and to hang out that afternoon, and they stopped by my house, and we had the best visit, and I'm so thankful that they did. Like I said, he lived in Traveler's Rest. He was on his way to Easley, so they drove right by here, so they stopped to see me, and I had a great visit with him. I remember standing out the end of the driveway, watching them drive away. And I thought, Bradley's finally found peace and he's got a good girl and he's happy. And I just saw a life beginning for him. And I just had one of those moments, and looking back. And later, Georgia, his girlfriend at that time, told me that as they were driving out the driveway, he said, "I just love my mom. I've always felt close to her." So they went to Easley. They went to a restaurant called Joe's, downtown Easley. It's famous. They've made a million hot dogs. He had a chili cheeseburger, half and half, run it through the garden, everything on it with probably, anything he could get on it extra. Had mint chocolate ice cream. He loved food. And they went to Uncle Sam's antique store across the street and went through that a minute. And then they pulled their skateboards out of the back of the car. Right there at Easley Police Department, they entered the Doodle Trail with their skateboards. And you go through a cemetery. So he went to the top of the cemetery, top of the hill, and he got on his skateboard. And Georgia did too. And hers started wobbling. So she hopped off. But it's a very steep hill and really shouldn't be skateboarding there. And he didn't have on a helmet. And he hit a bump at the bottom of that hill. And it threw him. It broke his his board and it threw him and hit the back of his head. And he died from cardiac arrest on the way to the hospital. My 6'1", 230-pound Eagle Scout, who had just hiked on the Appalachian Trail a month before, was gone. Just like
a Yeah, study. Instantaneously.
Yes.
And I was just going to say, what a blessing it is to have had such a sweet memory right there within a few minutes of that happening, of him stopping by to see you.
Yes.
Because he wanted to.
Mm-hmm. And I know that's what I said about the fall. That's what people will tell you happened. But I really believe my Bradley skidding in sideways into heaven on that skateboard. And Jesus was standing there. I can just imagine it. And I'm sure Bradley grabbed him and gave him that biggest old bear hug he could give him.
Yeah.
And Jesus said, Welcome, Bradley. He said, and I'm sure I could imagine he said, there's that baby from Ukraine. And the devil thought nobody wanted you. Welcome home. And he's laughing. And I feel like he still is. And when I cross the Jordan, I feel like I'm going to hear his laugh before I get there.
You might very well. And, you know, sometimes when I'm talking to a guest and they're sharing a story like that you just shared about your son, Bradley, I think about Ryan having already been there before Bradley went. I'm thinking they may have already met. They may be, you know, they might spend time together in heaven.
That's right. Know? They might. And Jesus, the Lord knows all. He may be telling them all about what you and I are talking about right now.
He may be. And hopefully they're not laughing at us too much.
You know what I think they're saying? You go, Dad. You go, Mom.
Yeah.
You go. Because my son is as healthier and more well than he's ever been. And I'm going to get to live with that version for all eternity.
Absolutely. Yeah, we have told people for years that Ryan is more alive now than when he was here. Because he lives in perfection and he has a perfected body. No more depression, no more anxiety, no more stuff that we have to encounter here on earth. So like you guys, we are very, very thankful to know that. Sharon, you know, they're what people see on the outside who, you mean, they hear our story, if they live, you know, close by, they watch us, they observe these parents who have lost a child, but they, unless they have been there, they don't really have a clue what life is like on the other side of losing a child. I mean, it's the grief and the trauma that results from that. It's just unthinkable. It's unspeakable. And there are no words that you can use that adequately describe it. But what I would like for you to do, or for us to talk about, is what life has been like, because grief alters our lives, the kind of grief from losing a child. And you know, we have a before and after life now. So would you mind just sharing with people that are listening now, because some of them may be in an earlier season of grief than you are, than I am. How has losing Bradley changed you and changed your life?
It's made me more dependent on the Lord.
Yeah.
I would tell you that. Our grief journey is private. Even Scott lost the same child I did.
Right.
We lived in the same house. His relationship, his grief is different than mine. And nobody can tell you how to grieve. Nobody should. They try sometimes, but nobody should tell you. You've grieved enough. You need to get over it. I've had somebody tell me that.
Yeah, it's an impossible thing to do. You don't get over it.
You don't. You get through it. For me, the only way I can is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Because
I'm with you.
When I got the news, I felt and this may happen for other moms, for other parents, for you too, as a dad. But the physical part of that, I took that news. I was in this emergency room, little room in Georgia. The girlfriend was with me, and doctor came in and told me that news. And Georgia started screaming and wailing and just pulled on and holding on to me. And so I instantly, mother gear kicked in. And they'd only been dating a short time, like a month or two. But I knew they were in love. And so I was holding her and I just spoke what I knew. I said to her, this was Bradley's time. And he's in heaven. We know where he is. The Lord's got him. It was his time. There was nothing could have changed it. And having that truth that was penetrated in my heart, I knew he was saved. I knew what's next. and everything. I felt, when that happened, I felt my organs like they just took a trauma, took a jolt. Mm-hmm. And had some health problems related to that afterwards because my ears rang for 2 weeks from that trauma. I kept hearing this ringing in my ears. It's just something that it's not supposed to be.
Right.
It's not. It's not the natural order of things. I would never have thought that he would have been gone. But it was such a shock. And I was so broken. And I remember I have a garden that he loved it. He loved to plant. That was his thing. And I have loved that too. One thing we did together. But yeah, I had a little shade garden in my backyard. And I call it Bradley's Memorial Garden. And I was sitting down there on the picnic table, just crying, sobbing. I remember begging God, please give me something because I can't live. I can't go on. And the Holy Spirit whispered so sweetly to me, and he said, Sharon, if he hadn't been with you, he wouldn't be with me. And I can ride that wave all the way to heaven. I can't for the years to come. So yeah. The Lord has comforted me through my darkest times. And he prepared me by being part. I have a ministry, which I'll talk about later, but I had been a part of a group with Grace in the Wilderness for grief moms for 14 years. So I knew a lot of things when I found out. I knew year two was going to be harder. That's what they all said. And I thought, how in the world? And I can't breathe right now. How is 2 years? How am I going to make it 2 years? But we have women in there, I've been in there 20 years. The most beautiful smiles and the sweetest peace. And it's the Lord that makes the difference.
Yeah, only he can do that because logically, it makes no sense that you could experience joy again and you could experience a full life again because it's so devastating when it happens. And it reaches far beyond the emotions. That's what other people observe is what they see. What they don't see is how it affects us physically, as you alluded to a minute ago, how it affects us mentally. Sometimes there's the mental fog that goes with grief, much like COVID fog that we talked about a few years ago. But it has that impact. It reaches so deep. And then, of course, there's the spiritual impact. Sometimes we're in such a state of shock, especially sometimes I think as Christians, because we think, how could God let that happen? Why? You're omnipotent. You control all things. Nothing's ever out of your reach. I don't understand how you could let us lose our child. And sometimes people get angry for a season. But that's what it's like in those days and weeks and sometimes months following the death of a child.
It has taken me, I know it's not long, but 4.5 years, but it is 4.5 long years, it seems sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Get to the point where I have grown closer to the Lord during that time. And I wouldn't trade the closeness that I feel for the Lord to spare me the hurt. Boy, I'd love to have my boy back. But I have grown the deepest in the valley. And I've learned who my God is. And he is real.
I understand that at a very personal level. And that is where we grow. When things are going along real, real nicely and smoothly, and we don't have any, there's no hiccups, there's no battles. It's easy to slide into just kind of a coasting mode in life,
True.
And there's nothing wrong with that, but it's not typically those are not seasons of growth. But when we get challenged at the very core of who we are, when our faith gets tested, And I don't know what else could test one's faith as much as the death of a child. Okay. Because as you said earlier, it is completely out of the natural order. No parent has a child thinking that they're going to lose them at some point.
That's right.
So I understand exactly what you meant by that.
Yeah. There's something about having experienced the worst thing that a human can go through that takes away some of the fear from the rest of the trials that you face in your life.
That is so true. That is so very true. I know exactly what you're saying because I've experienced that. Kathy's experienced that. And some of the stuff that you used to worry about, fret over, just seems like little molehills now,
I know. When he was on the Appalachian Trail, I used to worry to death. He'd be out there alone at night, and I'd think, he's wandering around. He's going to get eaten by a bear or hurt by a criminal or fall off a cliff.
Right, right, right.
Whatever had happened, if it did, it would have been his time, and he's, God's got him. God's got him. He took care of him, and he loved him more than I did.
That's easy to forget when we when our child is with us and we fret over every little thing. And when you lose a child, your relationship with your other children kind of takes on a whole new meaning when it comes to worrying about what might happen to them, because you've experienced the worst and you pray that you never experience the worst again. But outside of that, other things, those are the things that really don't make the impact that they once did. And you don't worry about as much as you once did. Because as you said, if you've experienced the worst, what else is there? You know?
There is a sense of isolation.
Yeah.
That you feel because people don't understand. You know, you're in a class and you're taking prayer requests and somebody's saying, please pray for my son Johnny because he's really an A student, but he's struggling by with a low C. Please pray for him.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I do.
And those things are important, and the Lord loves and cares about everything that matters to us.
Of course.
But you do feel a little bit like a fish out of water sometimes.
Yeah, you do. And that was one of the things that I wanted to ask you about, is what your experience was and how losing Bradley affected your relationships with other people, even family members. People that you are in church with and that sort of thing, because it does have an impact, doesn't it?
It does. I had been doing ministry for 14 years, Sunday school teacher, all of that, women around me all the time. And I appreciate so the support that I got. There were times when people said the wrong thing. They were trying to help, though.
Sure.
And so sometimes I would guard myself a little bit. And, you know, I never stopped going. I would be there. I would be involved. I would be leading. But sometimes when we get on that subject, I'd be ready to change the subject.
I'll bet. You know? Yeah, I'll bet. When you think back to, I mean, again, it hasn't been that long, but those early weeks and months, Sharon, what stands out in your memory that means the most to you that somebody else did and they did it right? You know, they weren't prepared. You know, nobody takes a course in how to care for people who've lost a child. There's no manual for that, but some people just seem to do it exactly right. And it stands out in our hearts and our minds for the rest of our lives. Is there anything that you can remember that just stands out to you?
Well, being part of this group, as I mentioned, the bereaved moms, Grace in the Wilderness has 450 moms now.
Right.
I have a lot of friends that are bereaved. They're grieving their children. So they knew, and they are the ones that you can relate to. And those interactions were invaluable. But for those that don't understand, what helped me the most and what I learned from years of ministering to these bereaved moms is just being present. Being present is the main present. Years ago, when I first started this group for bereaved moms, again, 14 years before Bradley died, I went to the Lord and I said, Lord, I am so unequipped for this. I don't know how to relate, how to help them. And through my prayers, He revealed to me that what I needed to do was just give them Jesus, because He works for everything.
Yeah, that's true.
So be loving. Just be loving, be honest, be true. Say, I don't understand. Don't try to fix people, because you can't. Only God can do that. So what meant the most to me were those friends who were willing to put their arm around me and walk over to that black hole and let me look off in it while I cried, and they held me and they prayed for me.
Yeah, it's what you said. It absolutely is so true, that somebody's presence is a treasure. And you know what we want people to understand, I know you would agree with this, is that please don't back away, or please don't ignore us, because you know we want you to know you don't have to have the right words, because there aren't any. We don't expect you to come and say things that are going to make us feel better, because you can't. But showing up and just allowing us to talk, allowing us to even sometimes just be silent and just sit, and you sit there with me and help carry some of that pain and some of that loneliness that you feel, they can just carry it for a few minutes. It feels like it takes something off of our shoulders. And
absolutely.
So those are the people that, you know, that that really make an impression. And I'm thankful that you had people like that in your life. We did too.
Yes, yes. It's so important, I think, to be flexible. If you're a close friend, especially if someone who's lost a child, I think it's important to be able to be to sit with them in that grief, or if they're at a place that they want to just go to a movie and let's not talk about it, that you can giggle with them and laugh about what you did 3 years ago.
Sure.
on a hiking trip or whatever.
Right.
Where you can just let them lead. Because in the beginning, it is so hard to be, I don't know, to be out of control in those communications. Because your heart is like raw and out there. And we've all heard those things. He's better off. All those things that are well-meant, but boy, they're not appropriate for that timing. And people who say them, who haven't lost a child, are not equipped. It's almost like they haven't earned the right to say that to you. And it's hurtful. And it's easy to, when that happens, to just not forgive that person and put them out of your life.
But I was going to say, we have to learn to give grace to other people.
Mm-mm. I had one situation where a good friend of mine in a Bible study said that in time I was going to get over this when I requested prayer because I wasn't sleeping. And I said, you know, I'm doing the best I can. And then I asked that they go on with the other prayer request, and they didn't. And she continued to tell me how, you know, I was taking it too hard. But she came to me later. And she asked me to forgive her, and she is one of my dearest friends. And of course, we are so close now. And I didn't turn my back. I forgave her. So if you can, and that's only through the Lord, but people don't understand and they mean well. And if you can forgive them, even when they're not asking, because at the core, they really care. Yeah. Most times they really care. They just don't know what to do. And the other side of it is, like you said, some people just completely ignore you. I've had a friend say that she's had people, she'd see them in the grocery store and they would skirt the outside and go out the door, and she knew they were there because they didn't want to talk to her. They don't feel comfortable with our grief.
No, I've heard similar stories so many times since I've been doing this podcast, mm-hmm. They just don't understand that the seeing them, it's not like, sometimes I think they don't realize that we can see them doing that. And it hurts because you want people to recognize, you know, you don't want people to come and shower you with, it's not about self-pity. It's just about acknowledging that my child existed.
Right.
I love my child. I love to hear my child's name. And we love to hear other people say their name. And so err on the side of just showing up and not saying anything, or very simply give them a hug and just say, I'm so sorry. That means more than you can even begin to imagine.
Yes. And the same is true when someone loses a spouse. I don't understand what that's like. I can't imagine.
Yeah, me either.
But it's a similar thing. Just be loving. And if you can go wash dishes, if you can, whatever you can do, follow Jesus's example of being a servant.
Yep.
It means everything.
It does. And it's not complicated.
Right. It's not.
No, it's not complicated at all. I do want to, for us to spend a few minutes talking about your ministry, because you also have a podcast, but you've been doing ministry. You had been doing ministry long before you lost Bradley. So this was not foreign to you. But before we go there, there's one other thing that I did want to just to ask you to share with our listeners, because again, some are probably in an earlier season of grief, and sometimes people are looking for practical things. Was there anything, as you look back now, Sharon, over the last 4.5 years, is there anything that helped you on your grief journey more than maybe what you would have thought? Things that, you know, I don't know whether it was something that somebody told you about, something you read, whatever it might be, but somebody who's looking for something, just, you know, like a big Band-Aid to put on this wound that just won't seem to close.
What you're doing, Greg, it helps moms and dads not to feel like aliens. You know, being connected helps with that. It helped me being around people who understood. I would seek that out, and I would seek that out from a Christian source, because the secular thoughts on that sometimes are, you know, it's hard. It's always going to be terrible. It's horrible. But, you know, what we find is when all we have is God, He's all we need. And so that is a constant flow of encouragement. And I so appreciate the ministry that you have and the impact that you're making and how you're helping people.
Well,
my heart is broken for the new moms. Every time I hear of a new situation, I know you're the same way. I hit my knees and pray for them because I know, no matter the circumstances of how it happened, I know that hurt. But I learned some things that helped me, and I learned them from the other moms, and it's things we can pass on. And one was I learned right off, and this, we may not have access to moms that are this new, but I learned that I could put things in Bradley's casket that went with him. And I invited my entire family, if there was anything that they wanted to put in a box and have buried with Bradley, that we would do that. So I wrote him a letter, and it went in his pocket with a shirt right there next to his heart. And I shared everything that I wanted to.
Wow.
And if you're listening to this and this is later on, maybe that's something you should do. Mom and dad, sit down and write that letter. If there are things that you long wish you had said, say them now.
Yeah.
Say them now. Yeah. Write them in a letter. So that was one thing. We, on his birthday every year, we host a fundraiser for that wilderness camp that he went to. My husband plays in a bluegrass band, and they do there's a restaurant up near the mountains in Table Rock called Aunt Sue's. And on July 17th, which is Bradley's birthday, we'll be doing our fifth fundraiser for Fair Play. So we raise money and we just throw a big birthday party for Bradley. That's what helps me.
Yep.
He, as part of his Eagle project, he built a disc golf course for Hagen Mill, which is a historic grist mill in our area. And so there's a bench there and we have a marker because he built that as part of his project, the first 9 holes. And it says it's a tribute to him. And so that's there. And at some point, I'd love to do a golf tournament there to raise money for Boy Scouts who can't afford to go to camp or whatever. So the things that were near and dear to his heart. And on the anniversary of his death, I plant an evergreen tree every year. And Christmas, he died in November and Christmas was coming. And I said, Lord, everybody's so joyous about Christmas. I can't handle this. Help me. So he focused my attention to the evergreen tree. And he said, look at that evergreen tree. Bradley loved to hike. He loved the wilderness. So the evergreen tree is your thing. So I have evergreen lotion, fur lotion. I have pine tree candles. I have air freshener that's pine, those things. And so every year I plant a pine tree. I love that. And one of my favorite things I did with Bradley is we would ride through the mountains or ride anywhere, and he loved music, and he would take possession of my radio. So he would play whatever music, and he loved the 70s and 80s, all that music. He would turn it up as loud as it would go. And years ago, I quit fighting it. I just roll the windows down with him, and we would sing to the top of our lungs. So when I'm especially missing him, sometimes on my way home from the cemetery where I go to visit him after church, my Sundays, I'll just roll my windows down and I'll crank up some Lynyrd Skynyrd or something. It's like Sweet Home Alabama all the way home.
Yeah. Stuff that that meant a lot to you guys as mom and son.
Yes. Think of things that you did together.
Yeah. That's so important. It brings up a good point that we want people to understand there's no right or wrong way to grieve. As you alluded to early in our conversation, you know, certainly there are healthy and unhealthy ways to grieve. But as you said, don't let somebody else try to tell you how to grieve or what's right, what's not right. That's one of the first things our counselor told us after Ryan died. There is no right or wrong way, and it's okay not to be okay for a while. It's not okay to stay not okay for a long time. So, you know, if you feel stuck in your grief, please consider seeing a Christian counselor or talk to your pastor. Share it with somebody. Don't keep it inside. But those things are so important. And we just want people to know they have the freedom to grieve the way that they're wired.
Absolutely. When I spoke at Bradley's funeral, I always told Bradley it was his story to tell. But after he passed, I woke up one morning, the Lord was already talking to me. So I want you to share at the funeral. I want you to tell his story. And I said, you don't mean at the funeral. And in that prayer, I felt the Lord was saying, well, if you don't tell them, how are they going to know his story? So I shared his story at his funeral, but I wore this big old extra large flannel shirt, the one that hangs on my empty chair for him right here in this room, and his Bass Pro Shop hat. I stuck that hat on my head. I wore that big flannel coat, and I stood up there, and I told his story.
Wow.
And on my car, I have a Sasquatch sticker. This woman, I'm a perfectionist. You would never find that, but I've got all kinds of hiking stickers on my car. You know, I don't care what anybody thinks anymore. It's how I get by.
Good for
you.
So
you do you. And I wear his big socks, and sometimes the heel part sticks out of the back of my shoe. But I don't care, because that feels good. It feels like a hug that I can't get. To heaven.
Yes, you know? Absolutely. So for those of you who are listening and you're thinking, gosh, I never thought of that. It's okay to do stuff like mm-hmm. that. There is nothing wrong with it. And that's as Sharon just said, who cares what everybody else thinks? If that gives you comfort, by all means, go for it.
Yeah. Have a quilt made out of their shirts and wrap up in it. You know, I have shirts, one of his dress shirts, his plaid shirts I had made into Christmas ornaments and gave it to all the family. So every year they hang my Bradley Angel with his shirt on their tree. Do things for others. Get his name out there.
Yes.
Keep him alive. Yeah. Tell stories.
Tell stories. Absolutely.
I'm telling my grandchildren about their Funkle Bradley. He had a t-shirt that said Funkle. He's Funkle. Fun uncle. And he died.
I love that.
Yeah, Bradley was 5 months old. I'm sorry, Levi was 5 months old. So, and he never met Hadley. So, I'm telling him about him. Tell your family about him that came after about them. That's your time.
One thing you will discover about parents who have lost a child, if you give them half a second, they will share about their child if you will only let them.
Yeah. And pictures. Go out there and encourage all your family and friends, especially if you're new to this journey. Tell them to send you every picture that they have.
Great idea.
Any recording, any voicemails where you can hear that voice and make your something for down the road. I still get pictures. And Greg, I bet you do too. And they're like getting a Christmas present when somebody sends you a picture of your son. They are.
We love. I know. And you really guard those little snippets. I guess they're little video clips of, you know, they were talking with somebody else and just cutting up on their, and somebody was recording it on their phone. And you treasure those even though they're just 2 or 3 seconds maybe of your child's voice. Because one of the things you fear is that you're going to forget what your child's voice sounded like.
I had a teddy bear made with that laugh. My son Taylor had Bradley's ordered. And so I got
that.
A heart. There are little plastic hearts you can order from Amazon or wherever. And if you push it, it'll play a recording. So I put that heart inside that teddy bear. So when I squeeze that teddy bear, it laughs. So if and it gives a recording, it's the last voicemail that I have from Bradley. So see, I've learned all that from those moms through the years.
And I just learned some stuff. So thank you for sharing that.
Yeah. Anything scents that they like, candles.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Anything.
And those things can be triggers too. You smell that cologne that your son used, and it's like it just kind of takes you back.
It does.
In an instant. Uh-huh. I mean, instantaneously. Well, Sharon, I want you, before we have to go, to share with our listeners about your ministry, which includes a podcast. So just tell us a little bit about what it is that you do, why you started it, and if somebody wants to find out more about it, how they can, what would be the preferred way to get in touch with you?
Okay. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
In 2008, my mother had just passed away from cancer, and I'd taken care of her. And I felt the Lord was talking with me. I wasn't sure what was going on, but he led me to a conference in Charlotte called She Speaks at Proverbs 31. Women.
Yeah.
And my friend was going with me, but something came up and she couldn't go. So I found myself there. And the Lord, it was right after Mom died. And I was so broken and I had so much going on. I was taking care of my dad who had Parkinson's, had the special needs child at home, was running a busy business that I owned for 23 years. I ran it. And I was asking God, please take something off my plate. So I thought, I would go to this conference, and it was for speakers and writers, and I just felt led to go. So While I was there, he started talking with me, and one of the speakers, Lisa Turkhurst, was there, and she said, well, I want to tell you how I got started with my ministry. She said, we used to cut pictures out of magazines, and we would tape it on paper, and we would make copies, and we would write stories around those pictures, and then we would staple them together and give them to our friends and beg them to give us some money for subscriptions so we could buy more paper and toner for our little inkjet. And if you know about Lisa Turker, she's one of the biggest in ministry now. But she said, so whatever God's calling you to do, do it. So he started telling me, the Lord said, I want you to write. And I wrote a trade newsletter for my business. I did COBRA administration, health benefits. So I'd write a trade letter for all the brokers and insurance agents. And that was written with my head. And the Lord said, I want you to write with your heart. So I started writing that, and I started Grace in the Wilderness, a nonprofit charity. A friend of mine, who's another bereaved mom, I wasn't bereaved then, but she was. She started working with me. And so we had women's ministry, women's conferences and teen conferences. And we started our first conference for bereaved moms, which we started 18 years ago. And we do it every Christmas. And it's called Joshua's Hope in memory of her son who died in a car accident. And so that was the first one. And we started a Facebook page, and we encouraged the moms from that. And a couple of women that came to our brunch, a couple of moms, they wanted to start meeting. So they started the group, and then it changed and became Grace Girls. So we meet every couple or 3 months here in the Easley area. So if there's anybody in the upstate, we'd love for you to join us for that. So that started, and then the Lord said, okay, Sharon, you know about a special needs child. Let's start a special needs group. So I started one for moms. Special moms. We have 11 now. We have one for widows, one for caregivers, cancer patients, cancer survivors. Our teen conference is Empower Jesus Girl. And the Lord has called many women to lead each of those. Each of those different ministries have a leader. And they all started with a Facebook group, and which those women head up those groups. And I help them with conferences, and I'm a part of all that. So that information is on wildernessgrace.org. You can find out about all of those different support groups, including our Grace Girls, which it has a private Facebook group. And so we'd love to invite all of you who are listening that might like some encouragement. We love to hear you share. We love to take prayer requests. It's just those that are walking this journey that are part of that. And the other part is I did newsletters for years. They were in doctor's offices. They were printed back when I had my business, but that has evolved. I sold my business, so I don't have my laser printer. It's evolved to a blog, a podcast.
Right.
So my podcast is on Apple and Spotify and everywhere probably you are, Greg.
Yeah.
It's called Finding Grace in the Wilderness. So you can go out there and find me. And there I talk about a lot of things. I talk about the loss of my son and bereavement, but I talk about all of our different support groups. I interview women who have suffered with all kinds of addiction, different ones. One whose husband was incarcerated, just, you know, people battling cancer. It's any example of finding God's grace in the wilderness, because no matter what we go through, if we seek Him, we can always find grace in our wilderness.
And you won't walk through that wilderness alone.
No, you won't. And our verse is Isaiah 43:19. We'll even find a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. And there's nothing more fitting for a bereaved parent than that, because you need grace in the wilderness and you need rivers in your driest desert.
Yes, you do. And I'm so glad you beat me to the punch. I was going to ask you about a favorite verse and you just shared it. Thank you. And for our listeners, I will share all of these different links to Sharon's ministries in the in her podcast, or in her episode description, I should say. So you can simply click on those links and find any of these things that Sharon has just talked about. And also within that episode description, you can see a link where you can click it if you would like to share, or if you would like to leave a comment, or if you have a question that you would like for me to pass along to Sharon. All you got to do is click that, and I think it might show up as fan mail, but I don't have it listed that way. But anyway, it gives you an opportunity to, you know, to list or share a message with me. Sharon, I just want to say thank you for all that you're doing. I don't know how you ever had time to work because of all that you're doing now. I think that makes work seem like a breeze because you're doing an awful lot. And I just thank you on behalf of other bereaved parents and moms who are struggling with various issues in their lives. I love what you're doing. And I just, you know, my prayer is that the Lord will continue to bless you and continue to grow these ministries.
Thank you so much. I failed to mention, I'm also the women's director at a church in Pickens. It's called East Pickens Baptist Church. I can put a plug in for my church.
Of course.
We're the women's director there, and we would love anyone in this area to come join us there.
Yeah, so that's great. You. Yeah, take advantage and check out Sharon's podcast. And again, it's called, tell us one more time,
Finding Grace in the Wilderness.
Well, Sharon, it has been such a treat to have you as our guest today. And I just appreciate you taking the time to come and share your story about Bradley. And I know that it's going to make a huge difference in the lives of people who will be listening to this. And it's going to offer them some hope and encouragement that they might not have had otherwise. So thank you for that.
And thank you. Thank you for all you do. You are such a blessing. And while I'm in the women's ministry, you minister to both parents, and there's such a need for that for the men as well. And I appreciate that. Appreciate that you're doing that. And thank you for this opportunity. It helps me to talk about Bradley, helps me keep him alive. And you've just made this mom's day. Let me share one more time.
Well, thank you. It's a privilege, and we will give all the credit and praise to the Lord for that.
Amen, brother.
All right. Yep. Thank you, Sharon.
Thanks so much.
Well, thank you for joining us today. We hope you found this episode encouraging and helpful. If you did, would you mind taking just 1 minute to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts by clicking the link provided in each episode description and then sharing with someone you know? And as always, thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Finding Grace in the Wilderness. May God lead you safely through your wilderness as you trust Him, and may His river of grace always flood your desert times. He is doing a new thing. Let's not miss it. Subscribe or follow to make sure you don't miss a single episode. See you here next time.